I know what every preacher's thinking right now. I'm glad I'm not up there having to follow that. If you will, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. I just want to read a single verse of scripture to you tonight. Jeremiah 32 and verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them, both of them, in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. My text tonight is too long to read. It covers several chapters in Jeremiah. And don't you just hate it when the teacher says, I've got homework for you. When you get home after a while, you can read chapters 30 through 33. But tonight, let me just kind of sum things up so you'll know what it is I'm talking about and where I'm coming from in the message. If I have a right understanding of these chapters, Israel had been led astray by Ahab and Zedekiah to defile themselves and to defile their own homes and their holy city by mixing the worship of other gods with the worship of the living God. Oh, they dressed it up. They dressed it up. Made it to be appealing and acceptable to the public. They carried over some things from the worship of God. They carried over the drink offerings. They maintained a priesthood and they offered incense. They still put on the priestly robes. And it all looked legitimate. But God said it was an abomination to him. So now the Lord sends to Israel his prophet. And he delivers to the king God's message. And he tells him that in no uncertain terms about their ungodly practices and of God's judgments against them. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, would be given free reign over Israel. They could resist all they wanted to. They could fight if they were willing. But nevertheless, they'd be taken captive and they'd serve that king in his kingdom until God self saw fit to come and visit with them and deliver them out of his hand. Now, having the testimony of God's servant and hearing these things which God's messenger brought to him, Zedekiah, king of Judah, was outraged. He was just outraged. Who do you think you are? I'm the king of Judah. I'm in charge. You're not in charge. I'm in charge. I run the show. It's my will. It's my decisions that dictate the future, not the preaching of some common man. I can almost hear that old king talking to his counselors in his chambers. After all I've done for him, I gave him a special place in my kingdom. I gave him the opportunity to preach. Why even let him lead in prayer at the business meetings? We let him preside over our weddings and funerals. Who in the world does he think he is? coming down here with that gloom and doom preaching, trying to make me believe that God has brought a curse upon us. And intends for us to bow to some heathen king. And so in his outrage, he commands the prophet to be shut up in the inner court of the priest. And then in the midst of all this confusion, the strangest thing happens. God tells his prophet to buy a field. Now this prophet had just come there, and he told the king about God's curse. He said, I've given this place over to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to come down here, and he's going to burn your city to the ground. He's going to burn up your houses. He's going to put a loop around the king's neck and lead him down to Babylon. This place is going to be nothing but burn over ash. Now go buy a field. Huh? Go buy a field. That field was something that evil king was going to have for himself anyway. This was something that would be burned over with fire. This is something that by all natural logic stood no chance of ever profiting Jeremiah in the least. But God told him to do it. God told him to do it. And he believed God. And the Lord told him to take certain precautions. He was to do this redeeming. He was going to buy his cousin's land by right of redemption. And he was to do this redeeming in the presence of the proper authorities before witnesses. Legal documents were to be drawn up showing proper ownership and then sealed and put in a jar which was buried until such time as it was to be brought forth and shown as evidence. That's my message to you tonight. Hope. Sealed in a jar. Sealed in a jar. Now this to me is a beautiful picture of God's elect and their redemption in Christ. God's elect were born under the influence of an evil king. I'm talking about God's elect now. I'm not talking about the heathen. They're born under the influence of an evil king. They come into this world fallen and depraved. They know nothing about the living God except what their fathers and mothers teach them and what they hear from the professing church in this world. That's all they know about. They know nothing of Satan's influence over men and especially that over worldly religion. Under the influence of false religion, old Israel laid their babies into the red-hot hands of a bronze statue which served as a furnace. And they laid those babies in those hot hands of that idol, believing that they were doing both the baby and God a service. And as surely as those babies were consumed by that idol, so are the children of our generation who are placed in the hands of these false prophets. Yes. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Just as surely as those babies were consumed in the hands of that red-hot idol, so are these babies of men and women who don't even go to church, but be sure to get their babies up and put them on that church bus and send them down to those false prophets. Thousands upon thousands take their little ones down to some church on the corner, believing they're doing God a service. And my friend, that's how Satan works. That's exactly how Satan works. I told our folks the other day the reason men and women can't identify with the fall is because they've never fallen. Have you? I've never fallen. I don't know, I'm a product of the fall. I didn't fall, Adam fell. I'm the product of the fall. All of these things that God talks about, fallen men, They're natural to me. And that's why he says the natural man. The natural man. He just keeps telling you. You and I are products of the fall. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. We've never known anything else. All of our evil ways are natural to us. Our abominable religious ideas seem right to us. Used to me. Listen to the scriptures. All man's ways are right in his own eyes. He's ignorant of the fall. He can't identify with what you're telling him. He looks around for some evidence of what you're telling him. But everything he sees is a testimony against you. And most men and women, like ancient Israel, believe they're saved. That king thought he was saved. He thought, well, I'm God's king. I'm king over God's chosen people. And yet all the while, they are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. God's elect are born into a world which is under the wrath of God. If you've ever read Ephesians chapter 2, he tells us that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit who now worketh in the children of disobedience. The whole religious structure of Israel was corrupt in the days of Ahab and Zedekiah, from the high priest to the altar boy, from the temple to the table. It was an abomination to God. And so it is today. The whole religious structure of this world is corrupt. It flourishes in its numbers. It's active in its ministry. It's overwhelming in its appearance. But it's an abomination to God. And it's an abomination in its practice. This world is under the judgment of God. And they can resist all they want to. And they can fight all they want to. And they can will all they want to. But you're going to keep on serving that evil king until God comes to visit. Paul said, I'm sold under sin. God said he'd be led captive. He told Zedekiah, you're going to be led captive into Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him. And as God found Israel of old living and serving other gods, so it is he always finds his people. That's where he found me. There by divine judgment, there by an evil nature, there because of the influence of Satan, and there because their religious practice is an abomination to God. Am I getting through to anybody here? Yes, sir. Have you got the picture? Can you see old Israel? Can you see that king's face when he got the news? Well, in the light of God's judgment and of their impending doom, he gives us three things concerning those days, those latter days, when he shall visit. And the first things he gives us by way of an Old Testament picture is that we're commanded to buy into his promised redemption. My brother-in-law and I were listening to an old Arminian preacher spinning a yarn about his conversion and calling into the ministry one time. And he went on and on and on. We didn't say anything. And after a while, we got in the car and left. And we was going down the road. And we were both quiet for a minute. After a few minutes, he turned around and looked at me. And he said, I ain't buying any of it, are you? And I said, I'm not either. Now, without a two-hour dissertation on Old Testament typology, just let me say that what the prophet was commanded to buy was not a piece of land, but promised redemption. What good was the land without the redemption? He bought the field. Isn't that what that says there in Jeremiah? He bought the field. God said, buy the field. Why would he buy the field? Our Lord said, because he found the treasure in it. Huh? He found the treasure in it, and he bought the whole field. I'm not talking about that his cousin's field. I'm talking about that field our Lord spoke of over Matthew 13:44. And what is that field? I believe that field is the Word of God. He found the treasure in God's Word, in God's promises, and in particular of God's promised redemption in Christ. Jeremiah bought into the promised redemption of God. And in the midst of God's judgments, and in the midst of an unbelieving world, in the midst of wholesale rejection and hostility toward him, Jeremiah believed God. He believed God. He bought the field. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. That's hard to say sometimes, isn't it? What about you? What about me? When I see the utter denial of the living God in this world, when I look within and see that, like Paul said, in me dwelleth no good thing, do I really believe that God can and will do something in me and for me and with me for the glory of His grace? In spite of my condition and in spite of the enemy's destruction and power, in spite of everything that's happened, do I really believe God will visit His chosen people in their captivity? Jeremiah did. And he put his money where his mouth was. Jeremiah bought into this thing of redemption. All right, here's the second thing. The evidence of the purchase. Jeremiah was to buy this field before witnesses. He was to redeem this field before the proper authorities. And before them, they were to sign it and seal it and put it in a jar. Now, beloved, when Jesus Christ came into this world and accomplished our redemption, it wasn't done in a corner. Isn't that what the Bible says? It's not... So this thing wasn't done in a corner. This thing wasn't hidden. This thing was done in the open. This redemption purchase was made by a man before the whole world. All of the proper authorities were there. Kings and governors and lawyers and priests. And everything he did was according to the law of God. So much so that it was written that by this redemption purchase, he exalted the law and made it honorable. Our redemption was accomplished before witnesses, appointed witnesses, chosen witnesses, ordained witnesses. Oh, my soul. But here's what I want you to see. The evidence of the purchase, all of it, both that which was open and that which was sealed, was to be put in an earthen vessel and buried until such time as the evidence would be called for. Oh, beloved. The evidence of our redemption is sealed in the person of Jesus Christ. That earthen vessel. Sealed in Him. Preserved in Him. And for a brief space, that earthen vessel was buried. It was buried. It was buried in the ground. And then He was raised. And the evidence taken into heaven itself. Right into heaven, right before God's bar, He brings this evidence. And He presents it to God. It is the evidence of the transaction that gives right to claim it. Is that right? Where's the evidence? It ain't in you. I've looked. It's the evidence of our purchased redemption that gives chosen sinners the right and privilege to become sons of God. And though we serve under Babylonian captivity, and though we suffer because of the curse of God on this world, though we are hindered greatly by the circumstances of sin, yet we are still heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And the evidence is sealed in an earthen vessel where no enemy can put his hands on it ever again. And having made peace, Paul said, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, are you listening, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you, listen, holy and unblameable. I might blame me for something, but God won't. Oh, my soul, unblameable and unreprovable. Folks always trying to make themselves better. You're unreprovable. I told our folks one time, I went up to Washington, D.C. And you can tell by looking at me, I'm not the art gallery type, but we were there. And I said, okay, let's go in the art gallery. And I went in there, and I was astounded. I looked over there, and I saw those Dutch masters, those paintings. They must have been 5 feet long and probably 3 or 4 feet tall, and they had little benches you could sit on and look at them. And I just sat there in amazement how any man could take 7 or 8 little things of paint and paint something like that on canvas. I was just amazed. Can you imagine what would happen? There's this big burly guy standing over here. He's about 6'8", weighed about 300 pounds, wasn't fat at all. Can you imagine what would happen if I got my watercolors and run toward that painting? I'm just going to touch it up. I'm going to just make it a little bit better. Oh, my soul. Oh, that's what you do when you try to make it better. Unreprovable. Unreprovable. If. There's an if on this. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard. One young man in our church, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, called me weeping on the phone. He said, I just can't find any evidence in myself. I said, you're looking at an empty box. The evidence is in him.
Amen.
The evidence is in him. Don't look in here, look up there. How many times he tell you that in Scripture? Look unto me, come unto me. Trust in me. The evidence is sealed in Christ. I remember Brother Mahan telling this to me one time. I used to live in his parking lot. And I was the last house on the block. They torn that house down now, but I was living there. He used to come over for lunch on occasion, and he came over there and he said he was walking down the street and ran into somebody there in Ashland, I don't know the guy, that he went to seminary with. An old fella said, Henry, said, are you still saved? Been a long time since he said. Henry said, is Christ still on the throne? The evidence in him. It's in him. The evidence of the purchase is sealed in Christ. Our life, Paul said, is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And then thirdly, I want you to see that God did this work in a place already condemned. Why would God do this work in a place that he himself had condemned? because condemnation is not the final work of God. That's why. I love this reading in Revelations. After these things, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. After these things. After the judgment and after the beast and the false prophet who were cast into hell and all those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. After all these men had perished in everlasting fire, then John said, I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven. Oh, my soul. Condemnation is not the final work of God. He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he's going to dwell with them, and they're going to be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he's going to be their God. Now, when you do your homework, you'll find that almost word for word with what he told Jeremiah. Almost word for word. I'm going to gather them out of every nation where I've scattered them. I scattered them. I'm the one who brought Nebuchadnezzar up here. And he's going to take you captive and you're going to serve him in his kingdom until I see fit. But when I come to visit, I'm going to gather them out of everywhere where I've scattered them. And I'm going to bring them back to me. The evidence of redemption is sealed in that risen Christ. And the evidence of the promise, are you listening, is sealed in here. That's sealed in here. Jeremiah had the promise in here. In here. The evidence up there. But he sealed the promise in here. The scripture said we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And this is the earnest. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What Jeremiah had was the promise of redemption sealed in an earthen vessel. Sealed in him until the day of Christ. God does business in the hearts of condemned men. Why does he do that? To show the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. You ever watch, boy, I'm going to tell on myself big time now. You ever watch poker on TV? They have a World Series of poker. I never knew that. And I flipped it on and I said, what in the world are they doing? They're playing poker. And after I watched it for a while, it was the finals of that game. And so I watched it for a while, and the money went over here. This guy'd win it, and then he'd come back. And then after a while, the money'd come over here for a while. And then he'd kind of come back to even again, and that's the way it went for hours. And after a while, one man got a hand, and he knew in his heart that he had the best hand. Nobody had anything to come up with what he had in his hand. And there's a big stack of chips out there in front of him. And he took them and pushed them into the middle of the table. And he said, I'm all in. Jeremiah looked at what God gave him. He looked at the promise of God. And he said, I'm all in. I'm all in. And God said, all right. I'm going to put that evidence in a jar. And when the time comes, I'm going to raise it up. And we're going to present it to the judge. And you can have that which God gave you. And you'll have a rightful claim to it. Men are always telling me, well, how do you know that you're elect? How do you know that you have a right? I've got the evidence. I've got the evidence. The evidence there and the evidence here. Huh? That's all there is, as far as I know. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you.